Well, appreciate you being here tonight. A lot of places you could be, but I'm glad you're in the house of the Lord. Most of all, I'm glad He's here. And nothing like Him. And I thank the Lord for the privilege and always a joy to be here at RBT. I love your pastor. And I say this without hesitation and without apology. He's no doubt one of the greatest men of God in America. And I thank the Lord for His influence in my life. And I've told him this, that to every time I've ever had the privilege of hearing Him preach, God's changed my life, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that, and the good singing tonight, how it stirred our heart and prepared our heart for the Word of God. And I thank the Lord for those young men traveling with me from my home church, and I thank the Lord for you young people here at RBT, a fine youth group, and I enjoy their fellowship at the youth camp we attend and things of that nature. And Benjamin, he's about the best out of the whole bunch. He's about the only one got any sense, and the rest of the crowd, they're about half crazy, so... And I know, as I said that, they're plotting some kind of devilish scheme to have some kind of skit or something like that. But I pray the judgment of God on their life. Amen. Let me invite you to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 6. I'm interested tonight in one verse of Scripture, verse number 9. And I want to use this verse tonight as a springboard to launch us into the thought the Lord placed upon my heart. Please leave your Bibles open. We'll actually be looking at some different passages from Genesis 4 all the way through Genesis 9. Let me relieve your anxiety. I'm not going to preach all those chapters. And somebody said amen to that. But I'll just hit the high spots and I'll be done with my portion of this evening's service. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. That word just simply means he was a righteous man. And perfect in his generations. That word perfect simply means he was upright, he was undefiled, he had blameless character. But I'm interested tonight in that concluding phrase of verse 9, and Noah walked with God. And Noah walked with God. If the Lord help me, I want to preach on this thought. Noah's walk with God. Yes. Noah's walk with yes. God. Lord, we love you this evening. Yes. Thank you, Lord. I know there's been a lot of praying tonight, but you can never have too much praying. And I pray that you'd help us now as we dive into the Word of God. Thank you for this simple thought you placed upon me. And I pray that you'd help me to deliver to these people what you placed in my heart. Thank you for the good Spirit of God, the soberness and the seriousness of the service. Thank you for touching Pastor Rackley and, Lord, his discernment and Lord, knowing the direction of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for that. And I pray you'd help now as only you can. Please do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, as students of the Word of God, we understand that Noah lived in very, very wicked days. What's interesting is when you come to the New Testament in Luke chapter 17 and verse 26, Jesus declares, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. In essence, Jesus is informing us that the last days would be very closely similar or parallel the days in which Noah lived. Well, we understand tonight that we are living in the last days, in those fleeting seconds just before the trump of God sounds. And so we are living in the same spiritual conditions, the same spiritual climate that Brother Noah did. So you and I, as a body of believers, we benefit a great deal by looking back into the Word of God and studying the times and the days and the generation in which Noah lived, and by doing so, it can strengthen us and make us more prepared for the generation that we have to live in and deal with. You don't have to turn there, but in Genesis chapter number 4, the Bible lists for us 8 major attributes of the time frame in which Noah would have been born. I'm not going to read these verses. I'll list them to you. You can write them down and study them at a later time. In Genesis 4, verses 4 and 5, religious apostasy was taking root. Verse 16, people began to expand their travel away from the place of their birth. Verse 17, they began to build cities. Verse 19, polygamy and sexual perversion began to take over the land. Verse 20, they began to achieve agriculturally. Verse 21, the musical age was ushered in. Verse 22, they began to discover and develop the use of heavy metals. Verse 23, unprecedented violence had swept across the land. And it was in the midst of all this chaos that God brought Noah into the world. Noah was born in the midst of a very philosophical age where humanism was permeating the minds of the human race. They felt as if they were accomplishing something without the aid or assistance of Almighty God. Humanity was very pro-human, but very anti-God. Does that sound familiar to anybody? And it was in the midst of that wickedness that God brought Noah into the world, and your King James Bible declares that Noah walked with God. Well, if we're living in the same spiritual atmosphere that Noah did, and Noah walked with God in his day, it's common sense that God expects you and I to walk with Him in our day. I get weary of going in different churches and the hearing everybody's excuse of why they cannot stay faithful to God. Times are bad and the economy's bad and they've got this problem or that problem. And on and on and on the sad stories of sainthood go of why they cannot be faithful to God and why they cannot walk with God. But in reality, it really makes no difference the excuses I make. It makes no difference the excuses that you make. That does not lift the responsibility that God has placed upon our life to walk with Him regardless of the circumstances that's surrounding our life. And Noah did that. And so right quickly, I want to give you four things with the help of the Holy Spirit on Noah's walk with God, and then I'll be done with my portion of the service and we'll get something to eat. All the fat people say amen. Amen to that. First of all, I want us to notice Noah's reason for walking with God. His reason for walking with God. Why was Noah walking with God? Let me ask you this way. How did Noah know how to walk with God? How did he know how to walk with God? Genesis chapter number 5 records a genealogy or a family tree that begins with Adam and descends to Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah. If you'll find Noah at the conclusion of Genesis 5 and count backwards, you'll find that Noah had a great-grandpa whose name was Enoch. Listen to what your King James Bible has to say about Enoch. Genesis 5 verse 22, and Enoch walked with God. Verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. The reason that Noah knew how to walk with God was because his great-grandpa showed him how. Amen to that. I can imagine in my mind's eye every day Enoch would get up and eat him a bowl of oatmeal and drink him a cup of coffee, read a little bit in his Bible and tighten his sandal straps real good and tight, and go out and face the cold hard world of his day. And little did he know that there was a snotty-nosed boy behind him by the name of Noah. And Noah was watching every move that his great-grandpa made. And Enoch's faithfulness to God and his steadfast walk with God made such a positive impact on the life of Noah that when Noah grew to maturity and found himself at the crossroads of life, tempted to go one way, Noah said, I'm not going the ways of the world. I'm not going the pathway of the world. I'm not going to live like the world. I want to be just like my great-grandpa and walk with God. And the reason that Noah had the impact that he did, the reason that Noah knew how to walk with God, was because his great-grandpa showed him how. Aren't you glad tonight for those people in your life that God has placed along the pathway of life that has pointed you in the right direction? You remember when you were lost and undone without God, when you cared not about God, cared not about eternity. God put somebody in your life and you recognized they had something that you did not have. You saw their peace, you saw their joy, you saw their contentment. and they pointed you to the cross of Calvary. Now, I understand that salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. Amen to that. But it's amazing to me how God uses His people along the way to point sinners toward the cross. And I'm so glad that there was some saint of God that loved God, that feared God, that God put in my path, that pointed me to the Lord Jesus. Think about after you got saved. And you didn't know what kind of Bible to carry. You didn't know how to dress. Amen. You didn't know how to talk. You didn't know what kind of music to listen to. You didn't know what kind of preaching to listen to. And there was some son of God that put their arm around you, and in love and compassion, they pointed you in the right direction. And the reason we're saved tonight by the grace of God, the reason we're in the house of God doing our best by the grace of God to walk with God, is because God put somebody in our life that walked before us, that showed us how. And could it be tonight that maybe, just maybe, the reason that to my generation, the millennial generation, if you will, maybe, just maybe, the reason they're so anti-God is because they want somebody that didn't walk like they're supposed to. Somebody in their family, somebody in church, somebody that professes to know God, maybe their walk was hypocritical. Maybe their walk was half-hearted. Maybe their walk was disheartened. I don't know, but maybe their walk just didn't back up their talk. And it's made such a negative impact on that young person that it hindered them from desiring the sweet things of God. Friend, I'm telling you, our walk with God reaches far beyond the bounds of this church. Amen. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And if we're going to impact the next generation and raise another generation that's going to know something about God, we've got to fulfill Titus chapter number 2, and the older teach the younger, and not by necessarily what we say, but how we walk. Show the next generation how to walk with God. That's His reason. Not only His reason, but notice His resistance in His walk with God. We do have an adversary, which is the devil. And anytime you're trying to progress in your walk with God, the devil's always going to blow the winds of contrary force. And so Noah was not exempt from that in his life. Genesis chapter number 6, in those opening verses, I don't have time to preach it all, but you have the descendants of Seth, which was a righteous family tree, making a conscious decision to become unequally yoked with the descendants of Cain, which was an unrighteous family tree. Don't have time to get in all that, but the reason the righteous family became unequally yoked with an unrighteous family was because of their lust. They liked what they saw. You've got to be very careful what you set before your eyes, because it has the power to literally destroy your life. So you have an unequally yoked relationship. They get married and they produce children. Verse number 4 describes their children. There were giants in the earth in those days. The conclusion of verse 4, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. That word giants means a bully, a tyrant, a dictator. That word renown means someone placed in a position of leadership. And so you have lust that provokes an unequally yoked relationship, and they produce children that become the political and the religious leaders of Noah's day. They were bloodthirsty, tyrannical dictators that cared not for humanity, but cared only for the promotion of their agenda. Men like Adolf Hitler, men like Joseph Stalin, men like Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden, ungodly, tyrannical dictators. And the reason Noah's generation was so far against God was because their leadership was against God. The reason Noah's generation didn't listen to him and the reason they did not get on the ark was because the leadership they were following behind rejected the God of heaven. Do you recognize tonight, friend, that corrupt leadership, whether it be political or religious, has always been in direct opposition to true Bible Christianity?
Yes, sir.
Is everybody okay?
Yes, sir.
We see it in the days of Noah. We see it in the days of the Old Testament prophets. We see it in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, how those religious leaders, the Pharisees, wanted to have him executed. We see it in the days of the Apostle Paul, where that Roman Emperor Nero had the man of God beheaded. We see it in the days of the Apostle Peter, as he wrote to the Christians that were scattered throughout Asia Minor during that great time of persecution, and all down through the pages of church history to the present day. Corrupt political and religious leadership has always been in direct opposition to true Bible Christianity. And the resistance that Noah encountered his day was a result of ungodly leadership. Do you recognize this evening that God has ordained three divine institutions in His Word? First of all, He's ordained the home. Secondly, He's ordained the government. And thirdly, He's ordained the church. All three of them, God has ordained them to be clean and holy, not perverted by some sodomite's agenda. Amen to that. Romans chapter 13, God is describing for us a godly government that He has ordained. Romans 13 verse 3, God said that a godly government will bring terror to those that do evil and bless those that do good. But when you take God out of everything and you quit praying in Jesus' name and take down the Ten Commandments and to take prayer out of school and legalize liquor and legalize abortion and legalize pornography and legalize sodomy and legalize the ungodliness that we're seeing in this day, you become corrupt in your morals and you become a direct enemy to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the resistance that Noah encountered in his walk with God was a result of corrupt leadership. And the resistance that God's people's facing in this day is a result of ungodly leadership. Now we all get excited and grab our guns and say it's the government's fault. But leadership goes beyond Washington, D.C. Amen. My generation is being absolutely bombarded with filth birthed from the pits of hell in the movies that they're watching, in the music that they're listening to, in the video games that they're playing. Their mind is being absolutely taken over by the very demons of hell, and we wonder why they're walking in schools and blowing innocent people away, wonder why they're blowing themselves up. They seem no hope, because the leadership they're following, the leadership of this world and the tattooed bunch of whoremongering thugs in the NBA and the NFL and the harlots of the music industry and the leadership of this world will not lead you to righteousness. It'll lead you to ungodliness and to the devastation of a place called hell. And the resistance that godly homes all across America is encountering tonight is a result of ungodly leadership. But you know what? In the midst of that resistance, Noah didn't pay no attention to it. Noah just kept right on walking with God. I mean, that the health department was screaming at Noah that the ark's not going to be sanitary. The building inspectors were screaming he didn't have the right permits to build the ark. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders were screaming about climate change and global warming. Obama was up there talking about social engineering and having having gender-neutral bathrooms. Everybody was just screaming at Noah, and every morning Noah would get up, spend some time with God. He would grab his hammer, he'd work on the ark, and he'd keep right on walking with God. And they'd scream a little bit louder, and the pressure would get a little heavier, but Noah would grab his hammer, and he'd work on that ark, and he'd keep on walking with God regardless of the resistance in his day. God, give us the faith and the grit and the grace that Noah had, that regardless of how rough the waters get, before we hit the shore, we make up our mind. We're going to walk with God regardless. I'm nowhere near as in shape as I need to be, but I sure like working out and running and hiking and things of that nature. I'm interested in being a good Christian, not a big one. Somebody hit me right there. And in lifting weights, best I can figure out, now Brother Saunders back there, he's a weightlifting machine, so he could probably tell us a little better. But in lifting weights, the only way to build muscle mass and the only way to get stronger is to have some resistance, and the more resistance you bring against your body, the more energy your body exerts, and the stronger it makes you. And what this old world has not figured out yet is the more they fuss and the more they cuss and the louder they scream and the more resistance they bring against the church of the living God, it's not going to weaken us down, it's not going to stop us, it's only going to make us stronger. Everybody's awake now, ain't they? Amen. Everybody's awake now. Hallelujah. I'll take it off. Everybody awake?
We're not going to get weaker. We're going to get stronger. Use a pulpit mic. Is everybody all right? The resistance that Noah encountered come from corrupt leadership. And we're encountering the same thing in our day, but make up your mind. Go stay with God. Thirdly, I got to hurry. Thirdly, not only notice the reason and his resistance, but notice, thirdly, his results of walking with God. Aren't you glad that Galatians 6:7 is still in your Bible? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow good seed, you're going to reap good seed. You sow bad seed, you're going to reap bad seed. Amen. That principle applies today. Noah sowed some good seed and he reaped some good seed. Notice with me your Bible, Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah. Chapter 8, verse 1. And God remembered Noah. Chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah. Chapter 7, verse 1. God was speaking to Noah before the flood. Chapter 8, verse 1. God was remembering Noah during the flood. Chapter 9. Verse 1, God blessed Noah after the flood. And all that was a result of Noah walking with God. Now, if a bunch of the high-powered independent Baptists would take evaluation of Noah's life, and if they lived in Noah's day, they would probably deem his life very unsuccessful. Because he didn't have a large Sunday school. He didn't have thousands of converts to write down and send to the fellowship of the brethren meeting. He wasn't pastoring a mega church, he pastored a micro church. And everybody would deem him unsuccessful. But in studying your Bible, you'll find out that Noah's success did not hinge upon what he could tangibly see or not see. But his success hinged upon his faithfulness to the calling and the commission that God had placed on his life. I understand sometimes that we do get discouraged when we do not see the results that we think we should. It does get discouraging when you go to the Sunday school class and there's two. And they really don't care if they're there or not. They're just there because mom and daddy makes them be there. Amen. Or you go to the pulpit and there's 15 people and they really don't want to be there. And halfway through your introduction, one third of them's yawning. The other third is sleeping. And the other third's worrying about what's on the buffet at lunch. Y'all with me? I get tired of that sometimes. Yes, It discourages me going into church and they want entertainment. And they're looking for the punchline, and I feel that. I feel that they're like, okay, where's the joke? And I try to tell them, nobody laughs at my jokes, and I can't dance. So if you want entertainment, you got the wrong guy. Amen to that. And it gets discouraging when we don't see the results that we tangibly think we should see. But let us remember that our success is not hinged upon what we see or don't see. It hinges upon our faithfulness to the job that God has called us to do. In chapter 9, verse 1, when the Bible talks about God bless Noah, that word means to congratulate him. God said, Noah, you've been faithful through the highs and the lows, the thick and the thin that we say at camp. You've been faithful to God. And God said, hey, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to congratulate you. We may never see the results we think we should in this life, but this life is not what matters. When we see him face to face and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that's what makes the difference. His results in walking with God. Fourthly, and I close with this. I've got to get this. This is my burden for this seat. We see Noah's reason, his resistance, his result. But I want you to notice, fourthly, his regret. His regret walking with God. Now, let me clarify myself. I don't mean that Noah regretted walking with God, because that's a blessing. Y'all agree with that? It's an honor. It's a privilege to serve the Lord and walk with God. But what I am saying is, in his walk with God, Noah didn't do everything exactly right. And when it come time for Noah to die, Noah could look back on his life and say, you know what, if I could go back and do that all over again, I think I might would have done that just a little bit different. And Noah had a few regrets in his walking with God. Let me say this, that I'm grateful tonight for the honesty of my King James Bible. And as God describes a character in his word, God doesn't hold anything back. That God puts the tragedies and the triumphs, the highs and the lows, the successes and the failures of that person's life. And I'm grateful for that, because we learn that those patriarchs that we adore were human just like we are. And let us remember that Noah was a real deal, sure enough, man of God. I mean, he really was. I mean, you think about that, God used Noah to preserve the human race. It's pretty important. God used Noah to preserve the animals of creation. It's pretty important. God used Noah to preserve the lineage that would bring forth the Messiah. That's really important, the Savior. So he was a real deal, sure enough, man of God. But he didn't do everything right. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. Noah got off the ark. Noah planted a vineyard. Noah got drunk. Noah planted a vineyard. He got off the ark. And he got drunk. Now, by no way, shape, or form do we condone what Noah did. Alcohol is as wicked as the devil. Amen. And for the social drinkers that may get this CD or hear it online, the Bible declares, I believe it is in Proverbs 20, verse 1, that if you have been deceived by alcohol, you are not wise. It is wicked as the devil. So by no means, shape, no way, shape, or form do we condone the actions of Noah. It was wrong. Amen to that. Let me just present this assessment to you. You may not agree with it, but I'll give it to you anyhow. Just give you something to think about. That Noah was not an isolationist like most Baptists preach and teach today. I'm sure that Noah had a pretty common life in his walk with God. Noah had friends and family and acquaintances. And everybody that Noah knew, besides his immediate family, died in the flood. Everybody he knew his whole life, except his immediate family, died in the flood. No doubt about it, when God shut the door on the ark, and there was people beating on that door, and the rains were falling, and the water was rising, and people screaming and beating on that door, no doubt about it, Noah recognized some of those voices on the other side of that door. And Noah knew that they were as good as dead. And there was not one thing he could do about it. And Noah was in the perfect will of God. And the will of God overwhelmed Noah to the point where he couldn't handle it anymore. And when Noah got off the ark, what he should have done is ran to his altar and said, God, I can't handle this. Lord, I need you to give me a little extra measure of grace. I need your help. But Noah didn't do that. Noah, instead of running to the Savior, he retreated to his flesh. He planted a vineyard. And he got drunk. Let me say this, that it wasn't that Noah just had a bad day and messed up. I mean, it was a process of time. He had to plant the seed. He had to cultivate the seed. He had to prune the vines. He had to harvest the grapes, make the wine, ferment the wine. It was a process of time. Sin is always a process. James 1:15, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. The drunk under the bridge never intended to be a drunk under the bridge. The man that got disgruntled at the man of God because he preached on his sin never intended to lose his family and his job and lose his life. Sin is always a process. Noah, overwhelmed by the will of God, couldn't handle it anymore, retreated to his flesh, planted a vineyard, and got drunk. Now, before we get real spiritual and just condemn Noah, how many times have we done the same thing? Now, we may not have planted a vineyard and got drunk. Some of you probably wished you could do that. You can laugh, it's all right. But the most part, when the will of God crushes us, the problems of life overtake us, how many times do we neglect to go to our altar and say, Lord, I need you? We retreat to our flesh, and do we not always regret it?
Yes, sir, preacher.
We're in the same situation that Noah was. But you know
what?
Somewhere along the way, Noah got forgiveness. You say, how you know that? Because the only place in your King James Bible that records Noah's mistake is in Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. His name is mentioned dozens of times throughout the New Testament. He's even found in Hebrews 11 in that great hall of faith. But his mistake is never mentioned again. Sounds a little bit to me like forgiveness. That somewhere along the way, Noah recognized he messed up, and he took it to God, repented of that sin, and God forgave it, and he never brought it up again. Preaching to somebody, and I don't know who you are. This is my assignment this evening. Lord gave me this message probably 2 years ago, and I pulled it out of the archives. This is what he put on my heart. I'm preaching to somebody tonight that you're just as saved as Noah was, just as saved as the Apostle Paul, and you've walked with God for a long time, but somewhere along the way you've made a mistake. And you haven't done everything exactly right. And every day of your life, the devil takes that mistake and he beats you with it over and over and over again. And your regret of the mistake that you've made has hindered your walk with God. And it slowed you down. And every time you go to pray, the devil says you'll never amount to anything. Look at what you've done. Every time you go to sing or preach or teach or serve the Lord, the devil's always saying, hey, you'll never have the power of God. Look at the mistakes that you've made. God will never be able to use you again. But I've got good news for you. If you're here tonight in that situation, if you'll be man enough or woman enough to come to this altar and to confess that before God, our God is God enough to forgive you of that sin. And once you're forgiven of that sin, it's washed under the blood of the Lamb. God never brings it back up again. Your friends may bring it up. Your family may bring it up. The devil may bring it up. But God will never bring it up, because when he forgives you, you are forgiven. His regret. Walking with God. I say this. Noah was a man of God. Noah didn't do everything right. But Noah still won of only two men in your King James Bible,
yes,
that God declares walk with him.
Yes, sir.
Didn't do everything right. He said, hey, I'm going to pin it down in my word that Noah walked with me. I believe the lesson that God's trying to show us tonight is, as the man of God already stated, on our best day, we're still human.
Yes.
I'm not talking about a license to sin and live like the devil,
no.
But I'm talking about on our best day, we're still going to mess up. On our best day, we're still going to come short of the glory of God. But you know what? When we do mess up, God wants us to come to Him right then, get it under the blood, get forgiveness of it, shake it off, and regardless of the pressure, regardless of the resistance that we encounter, regardless of our own regrets and our own mistakes, God expects us just to shake it off, get under the blood, and just walk with Him. Amen. The Christians that made the greatest impact in my life, their name would never be on a church sign. The Christians that made the most positive impact in my life, their name will never be printed in the store of the Lord. They'll never hold a missions conference. That they'll not be a household name by any means. But the people that made the greatest impact in my life was people that just walked with God. Let's stand to our feet. I'm through preaching. I'll turn it over to the pastor. Musicians come. Preacher, if it's all right, I believe it's the will of God. You ladies that sang that last song in the youth choir, I'm amazed. If y'all could come sing that, and I guess the congregation could just jump right in there and help you on the chorus. I believe that'd be the will of God. I'm amazed at how He loves us. When we do mess up, do come show the glory of God. I'm grateful that He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your word, Your will, and Your way. Thank You for this dear pastor being so gracious. Thank You, Lord, for this congregation that's been so attentive, their financial giving. But Lord, You know the need of this hour. You know the need of every heart and every life. And I pray, God, that You'll touch everyone. Touch everyone. And I pray, Lord, whoever is being beaten down because of past mistakes, I pray, God, You'll help them to come to You, get under the blood. Help us, Lord, I pray, to stand in awe and amazement every day of the mercy and the grace of God, and help us to be like Noah. Just walk with You. In Jesus' name, amen.